Blog Talk Radio.
Thanks for tuning in to Unscripted, presented by Be Unique Magazine, because an authentic life is unscripted. Be Unique is a 501c3 charity that works today to change tomorrow. Learn more at our website, beunique.org. That's BUNEKE.org. Did you know that Be Unique is a free, non-profit publication? We work today to change tomorrow by bringing you truly amazing guests like the one we'll introduce tonight, and by highlighting stories about people all over the world who will astound you. The free digital version is available 24/7 at beunique.org. That's BUNEKE.org.
Well, good afternoon, everybody. This is Mary Brotherton, your host of Be Unique Unscripted. And we're having an on-demand show today because we're trying to work around schedules. And I'm with a very busy woman named Mary Ellen Popick. She created and coordinates the Sanctuary for Mind, Body, and Spirit, an organization that's been around for a long time, serving as a platform for events, resources, and a magazine for the conscious community. The Sanctuary once had a physical location in Memphis, Tennessee for from 2006 to 2012. And it was a store and community center. There, Mary Ellen interacted with many authors, speakers, and teachers who were in the mind, body, spirit world of business. She has many interesting stories to tell and unique perspectives on esoteric and holistic matters. She's also the executive director of the Sanctuary for Mind, Body, and Spirit Conscious Living magazine, which just debuted this year in 2019. Mary Ellen now lives in Orlando, Florida, and is an educator. She has studied reincarnation with leaders in past life research and is involved with Earth Origins exploration. Her hobbies include growing and using botanicals and different techniques such as tea and herbal healing. And I love herbal tea. So welcome, Mary Ellen.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
You're very welcome. So our title for this show was Earth Origins, Ancient Aliens, and Mickey Mouse. Can you kind of give our listeners a clue what that's about? Why Mickey Mouse? What's he got to do with ancient aliens?
Well, it's just funny how it turned out, but I lived in Memphis, which is where I had my store, where the Sanctuary Community Center was, and had moved from Orlando. I lived here until the early 90s, and I got married and had my daughter, and we moved to Tennessee. And all the while, I really missed Florida. Tennessee was great, but I really could not wait to get back here. So when my daughter graduated high school, her father had unfortunately passed away, I came down here and I rented a place to live sight unseen. The realtor had shown it to me through FaceTime, and it looked like a really nice place. And I could kind of tell on Google Maps that it was close to Disney, but didn't think anything of it. My original intention was to come down here and do more of the same things that I was doing with holistic health work and some of the more esoteric things. And I pulled up in my car on the first day, and I got out and I heard a train whistle, and I thought, oh no, am I near a train station? And come to find out, I was that close to Magic Kingdom, that hear was the train that goes around the park. And I've lived here in the same place for the 6 years that I've been back. I just love it. And as spirit would have it, I did end up going to work at Disney, and I've got a really, really interesting job as an administrator in one of the parks. And it's really interesting and exciting, but Disney really does have a level of magic there. And I think Walt Disney's dream was to help people realize that they can be whoever they want to be, that they can create whatever they want to create, whether it's temporarily or permanently. So I really am getting a lot other than just a great paycheck and a lot of satisfaction from working there by being around that magic and really kind of understanding what his vision is and living with it every day. So that's kind of my tie-in to this. And I do pay attention to some of the magic things that I see and witness there. In addition to doing the other work, me having the full-time job did help kind of set the groundwork. I sold my store when I came back in 2012. Somebody else, in fact, still has it running up there today under a different name, and they're doing very well. So I have been interested in some of the things that he was interested in. I don't know if many people know. He originally was going to do either a park or at least one attraction just based on oddities or weird things that he had discovered. He was going to put some of them even in the Haunted Mansion is what I had heard. But that was just one of the dreams that he had that did not come to fruition. But I know that he knew that there was more out there. He definitely thought outside the box. And, so we have that in common. But my other interest with the Earth origin exploration, it ties into so many different things. It's more about the creation of this planet, really the universe, why we're here, how we got to be here, where we're going. And to me, to understand more about where we're going, we need to look at where we've come from. I think that we only recognize modern history as, only maybe within the last 10,000 years, but I think that there was a whole lot more to this planet that went on because it's not recorded in the same way as our modern history through actual books or texts or things like that. We may have lost a little bit of it and can only imagine what it was like. And I really love to focus more on facts than conjecture. We do need to kind of use our imagination to a certain degree, but looking at hard evidence about some things, physical structures that have remained, in actual science about different earth things that would have taken on with floods, fires, and droughts, and ice ages, and things like that. It's just so interesting. So I could talk about it all day, but that was my interest in that. So that's my hobby part of it. So I really enjoy it very much.
Well, it's interesting. I was recently talking with someone about the, I probably won't pronounce this right, the AIS Indian indigenous tribe that lived over on Brevard County on the East Coast. They were kind of like, I think they had a territory from Daytona down to Fort Pierce. They stayed on the coast. They were definitely beach bums. And they created these amazing shell mounds that people are finding. There was one area in Brevard County where they were, they discovered their actual living area. They have a whole section that's been archaeologically cordoned off, and people go and tour this area while the archaeologists are still working and on unearthing it. And it's been covered under years and years of, climate change and sand dunes and whatnot. The hurricanes change the topography so much.
Sure.
But this was a relative recent uncovering of this one tribe of people that had been wiped out. And what I recently learned was what the Spanish conquistadors didn't destroy, either physically or with their illnesses, the Seminole Indians. They took over this peaceful, little beach-loving, beach-bum-type tribe, and they either assimilated them or killed them. It was just the way it was hundreds and hundreds of years ago. Mm-hmm. But they left nothing written. The only thing that we've been able to do is surmise how they lived by what they left behind.
Right.
And it's fascinating that science can help us learn where we come from and, who knows how many of us have some trace of this blood in our system, without knowing, you know, without doing a DNA test or whatever. But many of us could be walking around with some AS, I call it AS, I don't know how else to pronounce it, maybe A's, but with their, and I don't know how they got that name, mm-hmm. but who knows where things can go if we don't study them. You know,
very active in genealogy research as well, and really appreciate the DNA part of it, but in the DNA test, like when you go to Ancestry.com or 123andMe, they only go back 10 generations, and even then our DNA then gets watered down enough that we can't identify current relatives anyway. So a lot of the DNA research with those Indians and back the hundreds or thousands of years would be more in the haplogroups, which would be the subtypes of the blood types, where they then do try to trace the actual groupings of the people, where they may have originated from, which is then important because then we can determine how they got here, or how we got here, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
But
exactly.
I had been researching, and still am, from a little bit more of an esoteric perspective, a site over in Titusville, it was called Windover, where they found a bog. They were building the subdivision, and the bulldozer dug up some bodies, and they were worried it was a murder, but it turned out these bodies were over 8,000 years old. And I believe it was the University of Florida came in.
They did. I remember that.
Yeah, and researched it. And they've left some of them there because they were so well preserved, there was even brain tissue, and they could test the blood types and everything. And my understanding is that it was a haplogroup that they cannot identify. It's haplogroup X. And that haplogroup was also found in Egypt, in southern England, more in the Celtic regions. At least one mummy found in a cave out in western United States, like in Utah or Arizona, that way. So it's very interesting to me. And if I could surmise how some of those people got here, you know, there's mysteries and legends of the continent of Atlantis or places that may not exist anymore. But I have no trouble believing that because when you look at some of the ancient topography of Florida, it was twice as wide as it is now originally. So a lot of the beach there in Daytona wasn't the beach then. It was almost mainland, you know, so there could be a lot more stuff under the water. There's also a kind of a famous cave out west near Tampa that's extremely deep. It goes straight down. And they, I call it a cave. There's another term for it. But they found when they dove down in there, there was little ledges on it where the people camped or lived and built fires, and there was remnants and evidence of the fires, or that they had cooked animals on the fire. And they were able to get bone evidence there that was also over 10,000 years old. So there's so much to this, even just Florida alone, that we don't know. That's just so interesting to me, that just paints a different picture about what our history is.
It's amazing to hear. Because I'd forgotten about the Windover area. But that's an amazing piece of history. And you wonder how much is even farther down that we don't know about, that's been covered over.
Sure. Mm-hmm. And it could be under the water. I know that around when they built the Space Center over there on the coast, that they did a lot of digging and dug up a lot of dirt and moved it in order to build onto the Cape. And so there's no telling what might have been dug up, but also what might have been covered up too. But I just think that there's a lot more exploration that we can do. But the water's rising right now instead of getting lower, so that may not help in that part of the exploration, but I do think things will turn up eventually.
I think so. Things tend to take full circles. Mary Ellen, I need to take a little break here. And when we come back, I want to talk a little bit more about what is the purpose of sanctuary. So just give me a few seconds here, and I'll be right back.
Very good.
Let me ask you a question. Do you prefer coffee or tea? This is a question we ask on our fun and informative millennial talk show called Coffee or Tea, No Phones Allowed. And why do I know? Because I'm Anna. I'm one of the co-hosts. It's a great time. It's a professionally edited weekly series that's free to watch on Be Unique's YouTube channel. That's B-U-N-E-K-E. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss a single episode and leave us a comment with your topic or guest recommendations. We love hearing from you.
And we're back. Welcome, welcome, welcome. This is Mary Brotherton with Be Unique Unscripted. I'm talking with Mary Ellen Popick, the creator and coordinator of the Sanctuary for Mind, Body, and Spirit. And I'd love to know, what is the purpose of Sanctuary, Mary Ellen?
When I originally started our center back in Memphis, Tennessee, I did it because there was no resources for people to find out real solid information. You could go to the bookstore. Amazon.com was kind of popular then, but we didn't have as great reviews and things like that that we do now. But also, I really found a need that people just wanted to get together, people of like mind that were interested in so many of the different things, mind, body, or spirit, whether they were healers or they were interested in just really, you know, spiritual conversations or learning more about neuroscience or, you know, why we act the way that they do. So I had the store, and then that was when I saw all the great things that were going on and how much that people had to offer. So we kind of rode out the 2008-2009 wave. That was very difficult when people really weren't spending money. It was also the decline of stores as we know it now. You know, think how different everybody's shopping online now and everything. But yeah, we did persevere, and as I said, we had a store through 2012. But when I returned here to Florida, my stipulation with the people who bought the store was that I wanted to take the foundation, the name, and the grouping that we had, because as more of a virtual sanctuary, we can relate to people all over. You don't necessarily have to be in Florida. I also know that people travel here a lot for vacation and things like that, and I've had people from my past come to some of our events, whether as vendors or just to visit because they happen to be here at the same time that we had one. So our purpose is really to be of service. And it's to be sort of an umbrella for the community where different practitioners or vendors or, you know, the people that offer services can be connected with public that's really interested in what they do. Also, then practitioners of different types might be able to meet other people and kind of start little focus groups or, you know, there's strength in numbers. So that's the intention of this, the sanctuary is to be of service and just to bring people together.
Well, I know that you mentioned events just a few minutes ago. Can you tell us a little bit about some of the events you've got coming up in 2020?
Or sure.
Got any coming up next month?
The first one, yes, that's going to be our Earth Mysteries Conference, which I'm really excited about. It's going to be here in Orlando. And we've got speakers flying in that have been on Ancient Aliens, America Unearthed, some different History Channel documentaries about Roanoke and other places where there's been just a lot of really fascinating things that we've learned that are important to what's going on today and where we're really going, I think, as a civilization. One of them is Clifford Mahudi. He is a Zuni tribal elder out west from the Zuni tribe. And you mentioned the Indians there in Brevard County, and there's really no written record of them. But most of their traditions are oral, and they're passed down. And a lot of it is because that they really prefer to keep them to themselves, that they don't want other people learning them, misinterpreting them. But again, I don't want to paraphrase because when you hear it from Clifford, it just sounds so much more profound. But he said that most every Native American group has teachings about the star people, that's part of their culture. And it's just widely accepted that we came from the stars and specifically who we came from and how we got here. So he's been very open with that and then ties that into, he's a civil engineer, to a lot of information that he's learned and he's gathered over the years. And he's extremely smart, very funny, and wants to share the information that he's learned. He's really got a great deal of information about the past, where we came from, and about where we're going. The UFOs is a really popular subject right now. Ancient Aliens, I believe, has had at least 10 seasons, if not more. But more and more evidence is coming out that UFOs exist, that other countries, and I say other countries because America seems to, for whatever reason, not really want to talk about it, but other countries widely and openly admit that they are there, that we've been in touch with them, that they've been in touch with us. And so the ancient teachings then tie into kind of some of the new information that we've got. We've also got a fellow, Brad Olson, who just took a very long tour. He was originally a travel writer and interested in these esoteric things and saw and learned a lot of really cool stuff. And he toured South America and Antarctica. And he went to Antarctica just to find out if some of these rumors about there being crashed spacecraft under the ice and, you know, things like that are there. So he's got some interesting stories to tell.
I bet.
And then, I can't wait. Because he's got really good photos and you know, they've got really great presentations. And another gentleman researches giants and does there's a lot of evidence. And how you find it is researching old newspapers where they dug up a 10 or 12-foot skeleton and the people talked about it. And, you know, sometimes there's pictures of it, but a lot of the cases, the Smithsonian came in and took it and then they hide it. Or destroyed it, one or the other. Google it. It's a big thing. But he also talks about Edgar Cayce and a lot of what Edgar Cayce speaks of about Atlantis and, you know, kind of where we're headed as a society and as a planet, you know, as our evolution too. I tie that into reincarnation. I actually have studied reincarnation. I've been to reincarnation conferences. And when you really kind of look at the dynamics of reincarnation, because there's actual physical and scientific evidence of when you've been reincarnated from one lifetime to another, you may keep certain traits or habits or reincarnate with similar people or similar places, have similar writing styles. And then I can kind of apply that to, you know, some of this past thing. For example, I think what we're experiencing right now in the United States specifically, a lot of the people were in Atlantis. And as you know, Atlantis suffered several cataclysms. Well, you may not know, sorry. there is allegedly three big episodes that it was a giant continent originally that stretched from the northernmost part of North America all the way down south to the Caribbean. That broke apart due to different anomalies, different things happened. The last one being about 12,500 when a comet struck, and it would have hit about the Carolinas, and it struck the earth and into the water, and it would have struck that area and finally broke it apart, and there was floods and tsunamis and everything. I believe that it darkened the sun, too, so that there was a freeze that lasted a couple of years during that time. One of the cataclysms at least was due to misuse of technology that they had, whether it be lasers or however the lasers were created, that's a whole other conversation. But I really feel like that's part of what we're experiencing now, that we are learning to work together, not to misuse the technology, and we're kind of at a pivotal place in our evolution. And when you can kind of step back and look at things from that perspective, it's really interesting. And to me, it really puts a different spin on everything and what people's intentions are. So we're going to get into all that at this conference.
That sounds like it's fascinating.
Yeah, I think so. So the website, if you want to learn more, is earthmysteriesconference.com, and all of the information will be on there. It's a very low price for the weekend. It's just $99 for the whole entire weekend and includes everything. There's free parking at the hotel, and it also includes every evening or before we end the day, there will be roundtable discussion with all of the speakers where you can ask any questions you want and, you know, bring up certain things that they'll actually discuss with the crowd. So it's a really great opportunity to be able to interact with these experts. You know, that have studied this so much. So But there, you can do a day pass too. So you don't, you can just come one day or both. But it's free parking and it's easy in and out. It's right off of I-4. So I hope people will check that out because it's really a rare opportunity to have this in Florida here.
Absolutely. I've never heard of anything like this before.
Right, right.
What are the days?
Then we, it is January 18th and 19th. It's Martin Luther King weekend, which for me was good because I know I've got Monday off. And then I can be a little bit more relaxed about it. And it's going to end about dinner time on Sunday or each day. But it's at a really lovely resort, too. And again, a smaller one. It's a boutique hotel. Right near I-4, so it is easy in and out. But I just thought that that would really make a really excellent way to spend your holiday weekend.
It would, and if somebody wanted to incorporate doing more, it's very near Walt Disney World.
It is,
so
yes, it
they
is.
Could, you know, they could bring the family and make an entire week of it if they wanted to.
Right.
Learn a little
That's
bit,
right.
Have a lot of fun, and learn a little more.
The resort is giving us a really special rate, too. It's extremely affordable, especially when compared to other hotels in the area. It's got a fantastic pool. But, again, it's smaller. It's very high-end and has everything you need right around there. There's plenty of restaurants, and it's just minutes away from Disney. It's real easy in and easy out. It's called the Malia Resort Suite Hotel. So the price of the suites isn't much more than a price of a regular bedroom either. So I highly recommend it. We love it there.
So what other events do you have coming up next year?
The last couple of years we have done these little small spirit fests, which are a lot of different mind, body, spirit vendors, whether it be psychic readers, healers, people who sell merchandise like crystals, jewelry, things that people that are interested in the different various genres are interested in. And we've had about, 20 booths or so, and they've been really popular. Sometimes we open them off with a paid event like a mediumship gallery where we have somebody who speaks with people that have crossed over or things like that. We're going to be doing the big one in Orlando this year. So we're going to be 50 or 60 booths, it's really going to be great. We have people coming in from all over the U.S. That are, just can't wait to meet the people here. So that's going to be February 29th, March 1st weekend. Then we're also going to be doing a spirit fest in the Villages, which is exciting because there hasn't been a psychic fair or metaphysical event there in a few years now. So people have been really clamoring to have another. And then we're also going to be doing another big spirit fest in Melbourne at the end of April. So we've got so much going on. I'm really excited.
And they can find all this stuff on your website, right?
Right. And it's SanctuaryFL, like Florida.com. So SanctuaryFL.com is a list of all of our upcoming events. And more information, even the Earth Mysteries Conference is listed on there. It'll take you over to another website where you can learn more about that. But it would be good to check it often, too, because we do update it with different information and a practitioner directory and things like that. So we'd love to have people get more involved and know more about what we do. You can sign up for our email list on there, too. We send emails out once or twice a month just to let people know what's going on with the community in the different areas and things that they might be interested in, so they can just find out related information to those things.
Very, very cool. I need to take another break. When I come back, I want to talk about some of the people that actually come to your Spirit Fest. I've actually been to a few of them, and I know who they are, but I'd love to get a take on from you on some of the people that come back on a regular basis or some of the people that have only been there once or twice that are just really outstanding in your memory. Just
okay,
give
sounds
me
good.
One. All right. We'll be back soon.
Thanks.
I'm inspired to give back by the many individuals who are making a difference and taking steps to make the world better. Many people are tackling problems by themselves and thinking they are all alone in their efforts to make a change. I want them to know they are not going unnoticed. The world is watching. I'm part of a team helping to project their voices on a global scale. Small charities and solo entrepreneurs are doing amazing things, but don't have the budgets to market themselves. Like many people, I once struggled in a variety of jobs I didn't care for, so I decided to find a new way to give back, to pay it forward, and to be the change. While some people my age are considering retirement, I've joined other professionals to create and manage a nonprofit organization called Peace Corps. The words that create our name tell only a small part of our giving story. We are philanthropists, educators, activists. We are compassionate, evolving, charitable, optimistic, responsible, and enthusiastic. We created Peace Corps so we can use our natural talents to help others. We work with nonprofits, individuals, and for-profit organizations that have a philanthropic outlook. Peace Corps uses several tools to give a voice to those that otherwise might not be known outside their small local circles. Be Unique magazine is released monthly and printed on demand. This digital interactive publication doubled in size within 5 months. During that same time, it attracted almost 60 volunteers from 12 countries and across the USA. These volunteers are professionals. They're performers and writers, editors, researchers, videographers, photographers, crew members, and so much more. Coffee or tea, no phones allowed. This fun show is hosted by millennials and provides insight into what they're thinking, but it's by no means intended to appeal only to that generation, as evidenced by their topic and their guests. Because our volunteers know that we are giving 100% of our beings to this organization, they are meeting us on our terms. Nobody earns anything. Yet we all work as if we are earning six-figure incomes. That is the epitome of giving. Curating the stories and creating a high-quality literary-style publication that not only highlights the good work of others, but projects positivity and inspiration gives me purpose. By giving myself to this organization, others want to give to Peace Corps. We have created a global giving circle.
Welcome back. We're talking about Earth Origins, Ancient Aliens, and Mickey Mouse today. I'm here with Mary Ellen Popick, the creator of the Sanctuary for Mind, Body, and Spirit, and now she's got a magazine. We haven't even talked about the Mind, Body, and Spirit Conscious Living magazine. Maybe we should talk about that before I get back to what I promised. I want to talk about some of the interesting people that you've met, but let's talk about your magazine first. Can you tell us what was your inspiration behind that?
It's really been an interesting arc to see how it's been a different way to communicate with people since we opened the store in 2006. Back then, I knew to get people's attention, we had our email list, but I even did radio advertising. And that's the thing in your car that's got the dials on it. A lot of people don't listen to it anymore. We would do print newspaper ads, and those were really the best way to reach people. But now the way that we communicate with people and what grabs people's attention is completely different now. So I had always wanted to do a magazine where we had things in one place where people could reference them later. I love ads, and I love to see what other people are offering and how they're offering it, and even just to know who might be of like mind. Even if I need to get my car repaired or need a dentist or something, I might like to know who is a little bit more earth-friendly or who looks at sort of the big picture and how it might affect us globally or, our body as a whole, not just in what they're treating. So I had always had a dream to have a magazine, and then this year the dream came to fruition. So we had published our second issue. Our next one will be coming out at the beginning of the year. That would be our third edition. You can also find the link to that on our website as well. But the stories that we've heard are just been so neat and interesting and inspiring. We've got a gal who goes around wherever she is in whatever state, city, town, country. She builds mandalas where she uses the rocks or, different things that she's able to get in that area and onto the beach. She'll go to the beach and build these really intricate yet simple mandalas and that she'll leave there. And she explains how she does it and the energy that goes into it and how we could do it too if it's something that we wanted to do easily.
Uh-huh.
I had a fellow that I went to high school with told me that he had had a stroke. And we're pretty young, I'd like to think. He'd had a stroke sitting in the car one day at a red light, and what it was like to come back from that, what it was like to experience it, and what it was like to come back and everything. So there's just been so many interesting things that have come up with regard to the magazine that we've written about, and there's so much more. So I'm really excited where that's going. But check that out, too, on our website at thesanctuaryfl.com. There's a link where you can read the magazine right on there. And the interactive edition is really fun, too. You can click on things, and it'll take you to different links, to emails, you know, websites where you can learn more about what they do. But little things kind of jump and dance, and, you know, it's just really fun to see all the neat things that it can do. So I hope everybody will check it out.
I've read it online, and it's wonderful to read online. It's wonderful to hold in your hand. It's a beautiful size, and the texture of the paper feels really good. But I always go back to that online version because everything is alive, and, you know, not just the animation, which makes the page kind of fun, but every link, you can click it and learn more by going to someone's website. And
right. That's
what I like about it. It's just really, it's packed with information that you can't fit into that many pages.
Mm-hmm. Well, good. Well, thank you.
You're very welcome. And I think, I remember the mandala story. That was really eye-opening for me. Because I thought that might explain my attraction to the natural and sacred geometry that I see everywhere I go.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the world is telling me that I need to make my own mandala. And
symbolism is actually the language on the other side. That's why when you might visit different psychic readers or intuitive readers, or when you hear mediums that get messages from the other side, often it comes through in symbols. Because it's our brain that feels like that it needs English or it needs actual words there. But really, when we start thinking more esoterically, or if we were to even able to get to the point where we could communicate telepathically, we would no longer need words. Almost everything would be in pictures and feelings. And that's what I think is so cool about the mandalas, is it's just different symbols and different expressions of your energy and your thoughts and ideas, and it's really a beautiful thing. So I hope people will check it out. It's going to be a regular series too, so there will be more in the next issue as well.
That's very, very cool, because it's one of those things that the first story that she wrote was kind of like an introduction, and it felt like I want more.
Right. Yep.
So I'm glad
there will
be going to be a series. Good. Very good. Now, did you meet her through the Spirit Fest, or did you know her before?
I actually was put in contact with her by other people in the community. They had kind of put the word out that we were looking for good input and people that had stories to tell. And she contacted me, which I was very grateful for. So that's another.
Don't you love how the network just works on its own?
Yep. That's how the sanctuary works, is just being able to connect through people, synchronistically. I love hearing stories about people that had met maybe years ago and hadn't seen each other, and then bump into each other at Spirit Fest or, you know, at some of the other related activities or things like that. And then afterwards they spend an hour talking and catching up, and I hear things like that all the time. It's just really validating that the work we do is so important, and no matter what you can learn online, it just doesn't take the place of the personal connections that we have together.
And you know what I think is even more powerful is when you meet a total stranger at one of these events, because I've done this at Spirit Fest. You meet a total stranger. You know you've never met this person before, but you feel like you've known them for all of your life.
Mm-hmm.
And I think
yeah.
because the people who attend your Conscious Living Expo and the Spirit Fest and all of your events, they tend to be open-minded and open-hearted. So it allows you to let in people that you may have known in previous lives.
Sure.
That are walking the world with you again today. I just think it's so amazing. Now I'd like to know a little bit about some of the people that you've actually, it can be some of the people from past events, because I know that some of the people that you and I both know, John for one, have passed on. But there are people that touch your heart in a certain way, and you just don't want to let them go. And there are people that you want to make sure they stay in your life a long time.
Mm-hmm.
So can you tell us some of the people, maybe we'll start with John. How did you meet him?
John Madsen, I met back in Memphis. He had a jewelry store at the time, and I had read about his jewelry, believe it or not, in Northwest Airlines magazine. he did these really cool enamel pieces, and I went to a store to check them out and invited him to come to, it was my very first fair. I think if it was even called Spirit Fest. And he did come, and then not long after that, his shop closed, and he kind of went away for a while and really kind of wasn't sure where to go, where to fit in, but he was definitely of the mindset, you know, that he knew that there was so much more out there, that he was really interested in esoteric and some of these deeper thoughts and conversations with people, and he showed up at the sanctuary one day. We talked about having his jewelry there on consignment, and he would do his own displays. He would do the most fascinating displays, but then he became a real fixture there. He would drum. Sometimes he would just come and offer his wise words and talk with people, but he ended up then doing aura portraits. He could see the energy around it, never considered himself a psychic or anything, but could see the energy and really had some cool things that came out during these things, and he would paint the portraits, and that's what he had done when he came to Spirit Fest. It was last spring, so what was that, February, I think, of this year?
Yes.
To one of our smaller fairs, and got to meet people and interact with people there. But we were just the best of friends. He was just the nicest guy, and really, really was very personable and just loved to talk with people. So I was very grateful that he had come down for that fair, as he passed away unexpectedly about a month ago, I guess it was. So, but, you know, those are, again, just the synchronicities of things. I just felt blessed that he could come to Orlando to meet people and it could do that one last fair. He had stayed active.
That was when I met him.
Right, yeah. But there's not been as many events as that we did when we were there. So Jerry McDaniel is another favorite. He did our mediumship galleries for three or four fairs, I think, that always sold out. They were really well attended. One of the best psychic mediums I've ever met in my life. And I don't say that lightly. I've met a lot of people, and I've had a lot of readings. Just fantastic. And he got pneumonia in the spring, as did several other people in his family, who they recovered fine, and unfortunately he had complications from that. He's still in the hospital. My understanding is he has been improving lately, and we do hope that he's going to get back out of the hospital and back home and eventually back to interacting with people. We sure do miss him too. So I just feel blessed that we were able to have him at the fairs that we did. So if anybody is looking for him or wondering where he is, continue to send him good thoughts. And he's working really hard to be able to finally make a full recovery, and we're very optimistic for him. So tell me, Mary, who else stands out in your mind or, you know, did you find super interesting?
Ed Edwards.
Oh, yeah. Now, Ed, I met back, I think he did our second fair, and there was a movie that had been made about him. I say a loose portrayal. The movie was called Phenomenon, and it starred John Travolta. And not to give anything away, but he dies in the movie, and Ed is very much alive. But it was based on his ability to create energy, electricity specifically, with his hands. And in the movie, it goes to show when it first started to happen, he didn't know how to control it, and some things had happened where he accidentally kind of lightly burned the side of somebody's face. It's funny now, but at the time, you know, they didn't know what was going on. But he has now worked with some really famous scientists in really famous places, and they have found that he is in more than one place in his brain at a time, so he can be in several different states of consciousness at once, and he also uses both sides of his brain at once. And so
exactly.
His name is
rare.
Ed. Very. So that's what they're trying to study, is why this happens. So then he's also found then when he uses the electrical charges that he can make with his hands, and this isn't like Thor where thunder and lightning come out of his fingertips, but he can actually make electrical charges. He can reverse the polarity, but it does heal when he does it. And the reason that he wants to teach it to people is because he believes that everybody can heal themselves with it, or that they can do what he does. He's teaching people how to do what he does. So the first part of the component to his work is the studies that these different institutions and foundations have done on him in completely, what is the word, where there's no outside influence. Where
isolated?
He's got, yeah, right.
I know he has a copper room that he does a lot of his work in.
Right.
I think it sounds
where no electromagnetic.
In, right. Mm-hmm. I guess it's like a Faraday cage almost.
That's it. That's it. Yeah. And so there's no external stimuli of any kind, no electromagnetic activity or, you know, sound or anything. And then they can just study what he does with his hands or what his mind is doing. They hook all kinds of electrodes up to his brain. But they have just found out that he is really special. And, you know, I don't know if they want to so much find out why, but why isn't everybody else like him, I guess. So, but he's been very open with his teachings, and he does a lot of online courses. But so he came in and he did a workshop where he demonstrated with the people, and then actually did group activities where he was having them learn some of the different techniques that he uses. And then the rest of the weekend he would do sessions on people and demonstrate. He brings his electrical equipment with him where he can show them what he does. And I'm not sure you know this, Mary, but he will be at Spirit Fest in February, February 29th here in Orlando. So we're going to be really excited to have him back again. Yeah, but so Ed spells his first name with two D's. So it's Ed Edwards, and I believe it's .com, but you could check him out more on the internet or even just Google him. There's so much out there from like the Ryan Institute. Dr. Levengood is the one who originally studied him and discovered, you know, what he does was so unusual. And everything's online. There's a lot about him, so people can check that out too.
You know, somebody else that stands out in my mind, and this is a little different than what John and Ed do, but it's Kathy Price from the Little Green Oasis.
Mm-hmm.
She does
the
aromatherapy stuff.
She's
mm-hmm. just
and
a,
she grows a lot of her herbs herself.
Mhm.
But yeah, she's really studied a lot about the botanicals, and she dries them herself too. And I love that because then you know how fresh they are.
Exactly.
My experience with the store, Kathleen, when you buy them, you can see what they look like, but you really don't know where what they've been through. I know oftentimes they're irradiated if they've come through other countries when they go through customs. And your fruit and vegetables that you might find fresh at the or you think are fresh at the grocery store may have experienced the same thing, particularly with some of the bigger box stores. But I know of a lot of these herbs that are stored in un-air-conditioned warehouses for years at a time, and you just don't know where they've been or what they've been through before they get to you or in you or on you. And Kathleen grows a lot of hers herself and dries them herself, so they're as fresh as can be. And her products all contain things that she's researched herself. I bought this awesome pumpkin lotion that she made at the last fair, and just smelled like autumn. It was just delicious.
Oh, but, I bet.
Yeah, really great products too. So, but didn't you do a documentary on her or film maybe?
We haven't finished. Yeah, we haven't finished it yet. Jennifer and Donnie went up there. I was supposed to go, but that was during the time that my body decided, nope, you have to take a break. So I got sick.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm too dumb, I guess, to figure out when to take a break on my own. But they did a video documentary. And Jennifer, of course, because she goes with me, we're kind of like joined at the hip to the Spirit Fest and whatnot. She knew who Kathleen was because we've been very blessed and fortunate to have her as our booth mate at every Spirit Fest we've gone to. Thank you for that. We want to make a request that that's a future thing at every event that we go to together.
Okay. All right. Noted.
But Donnie only knew that Jennifer wanted to do a documentary, and he happened to have the day off. He said, I'll go with you. He had no clue who Kathy was or what she did. And he came away just totally in love with the idea of growing his own garden and how to make it a sustainable place that is something he could feed his family with instead of just going to the grocery store.
Right.
And I also found out after they did this documentary that she also rescues caterpillars, especially the monarch caterpillars, and makes sure they are safe from predators until they become butterflies. So
that's fantastic.
Her kindness extends beyond what most of us would do.
I can really relate to her work so much because that's just been something I've been interested in for decades. And it's not hard to grow your own herbs at home if you do choose. And she loves to talk about it, and she'll tell you what works well in Florida, because some need a lot of water, some don't like water. She can tell you about her different experiences and things too. So she's really interested to talk to. So she, not only can you find her at Spirit Fest, but she does some of the, I know she does the Claremont Farmers Market every week, and then I believe she does one of the Villages Farmers Markets. But if you go to our Facebook page, the Sanctuary for Mind, Body, and Spirit, I try to let people know where she is because she's also got the Sanctuary magazines there. So not only can you sniff her great products, but you can pick up copies of the magazine there too. So I definitely recommend going to talk to her if you get a chance.
Yeah, she is really one of the cool ones. There's so many people that I've met that just resonate with me. I'm not even sure who else I could mention without hurting someone else's feelings for leaving them out. But that's certainly not my intention to slight anybody.
Sure. That's a hard thing for me. I turned away more than 50 vendors for this last fair.
Oh, my gosh.
We could fit comfortably 20 in that room, and I don't know if you knew we had 23 vendors at the last fair. I even had the admission table downstairs in the lobby because we didn't even have room for it upstairs in the main room, but we even had vendors upstairs outside the speaker's room. So that's why we've gone to these bigger fairs, is because there are just so many great people out there doing great work. It is hard to just tell you, name a few, because there's so many really well-versed and experienced people with, just really awesome experience. Remember there was a guy at the fair in the spring, an artist, and he had done a lot of prints, and he had these really cool, they were sort of like a candle holder, but it had mirrors in it, so then you could see the reflection of the candle.
I remember
a bunch
him.
Of times. Yeah. And oh my gosh, I'm so sorry, I can't even remember his name. But he also had this really interesting herb with him. And I'm going to have to put this on my Facebook page because I really regret that I don't remember his name, and I want people to know who he is. This herb, it was sort of like at echinacea, but in the powdered form, when you touched it to your tongue, it's kind of sizzled, gave you a little zing. And
yes,
it was
I
very
bought
healing.
Some of that. I bought some of that.
Bruce Sherman, that's his name.
That's exactly who he is.
Well, when you go to the Star Wars land at Hollywood Studios now, one of the drinks or the cocktails that they serve has a form of that in the foam that sits on top of it. So when you drink the drink, it numbs your it numbs your tongue and your mouth. And I just thought that that was crazy because evidently this is a thing now that people are putting this in cocktails. So, you know, he was kind of a front runner for that. But his website is going to be Bruce Sherman. I don't know if it's .com. Google him anyway. But he had a lot of interesting stuff. He winters in Hawaii. So maybe we'll see him again next year. Maybe he'll be back. But he was just an example of somebody that just has so many different things to offer. But when you talk to him, it's just like serenity. It's literally just like being in the presence of somebody who's just so calm and at peace.
He's one of the most peaceful humans I've ever been around. And it was a big pleasure to be around him and be in his energy bubble.
We always have psychic readers at the fairs too, and I always have a certain percentage, so we're not really heavy in readers or that we've got enough because they're always really popular. And I try to make it so that we've got different types of readers, whether it's astrology or people who read tarot cards or clairvoyant psychic, which means that they hear or see things in their head. And again, they're not predicting your future. They're not getting their source from any unseen phenomenon that may or may not be something that, that we feel comfortable working with. What they're doing is really perceiving, this is with the clairvoyance in any way, astrology is different, but they're reading the energy around you, and so they're telling you what's most likely to happen based on the way that things are going right now. but it's really handy, like if you might be considering a change or, you know, want to know more about something that's going on right now, that they can definitely give you insights to that. But with astrology, same. She's reading the charts and seeing what the barometer of things is and when things might be more apt to happen or when something may or may not be a good time to sign a contract or start something new. So we've always got great readers, and we do vet them. We do put them through a little bit of a process before we have them read to make sure that they're experienced, talented, you know, readers who really, you know, can give you the best experience. So we do pride ourselves on that, too.
And I know that we have talked to several of them on our podcast, and we've got others scheduled for next year.
Oh, good.
And they're always amazing people, just wonderful people to talk with.
They've always got interesting stories about how they got started, different things that they may have experienced, or, oh, there's just so many cool things. When I had the store, I wish that they could have done, like, a reality show about what it was like. Because every week different people came in and they'd come up to the counter and they'd kind of lean into me and say, you're not going to believe this, but I got something to tell you. And I just couldn't wait to hear because I just heard the neatest things, you know, different synchronicities or things that people had experienced. And that's why I can kind of weigh these things that I've heard against what other people might have said or might have experienced. And a lot of times people think that they're the only one that might have experienced or seen something unusual, but there's probably other people that may have had similar experiences. So the more that we can get people talking about these and sharing those informations, it'll let people know they're not alone, and it might not be that weird. So
exactly.
Yeah, we've seen and heard it all.
Mary Ellen, we only have a few seconds left before the show is over. So can you give our listeners one last way to reach you? How can they find you and follow you?
Our website is sanctuaryfl.com. That's FL like Florida, sanctuaryfl.com. On Facebook, we're The Sanctuary for Mind, Body, and Spirit. You can also find us on Instagram at sanctuaryfl. And then the Earth Mysteries Conference, we talked about that, earthmysteriesconference.com. is another way. We've got our email address on there, and I'd love to hear from anybody who has any questions. You can sign up for our email list on the website too. But we'll definitely stay in touch. We've got a lot going on, and we try to post things as often as we can on social media so people know what's happening.
Excellent. Thank you so much. I appreciate your time today, and I can't wait to go to Earth Origins. That's going to be amazing.
Me either. Literally, I cannot wait. So, but thank you, Mary, for this opportunity. I really appreciate it. I appreciate all the work you do as well.
Thank you. I want to say a quick little shout out to Little Green Oasis, Bronner House Museum, and Elisa Kaler, Spiritual Healer, because they sponsor our podcast for us, just like Mary Ellen sponsors our Zoom conference for us. We could not do what we do without our sponsors. So thank you, one and all. And with that, I'm going to punch our little goodbye button and say goodbye to Mary Ellen.
Thanks again.
You're welcome.
If you like the show tonight, let us know. Call 321-417-4309 or email mary@beunique.org to ask how you can sponsor the show. It's simple and doesn't have to cost much at all. Visit beunique.org for even more details. That's BUNEKE.org. Join the global world changers who already know how Be Unique helps bring together like-minded humans who are making the world a better place. Read the magazine and blog posts, watch our videos, listen to our podcast, and visit our social media from one location, and let's work together. Change tomorrow by finding solutions today. Visit BeUnique.org to learn more. That's BUNEKE.org.
Thanks for joining us, everybody. Goodbye.